Again, you know what? We are meant to be salt and light in this earth. Amen. And so to invite people to come and hear about Messiah should be part of our DNA as believers. So just keep that in mind. Let's pray. Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov, Elohei Yeshua, Mashiachenu. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. Yeshua, our Messiah, we thank you, God, for this Sabbath day. Abba, that you've given to us to be refreshed, to be empowered and encouraged by your word and through your Ruach. Abba, I pray that you would help us in our weakness, that you would manifest your power through our lives. Abba, that we would be changed and transformed. And Lord, that the world would see and want to know you more. And we ask it B'Shem Yeshua, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Just a note, men, try to make it out to the men's breakfast tomorrow. We have a good time. We have a devotional. We eat breakfast. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good time of fellowship, so try to make that out. Amen. Today's message is entitled Singing in the Rain. It really has nothing to do with the movie Singing in the Rain, but singing in the rain in the sense that when the dark clouds of and the storms of life brood over us for seasons, God has an encouragement for us through the Word of God. And today we will look at the Haftorah found in Yeshayahu 54 that we read, verses 1 through 10. In this passage, we are exposed to valuable tools that will help us break through to the promises of God. Amen? God loves us. God loves us. We could stop there because you know what? Some of us don't really know God loves us. We hope God loves us. But I want to tell you, God loves us. And he has a plan for us. And with that said, he knows that we will face opposition to his love. Opposition to his great from without and from within. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And each of us will no doubt struggle within our own hearts and minds, as well as having to face Hasutan, who has no shortage of spiritual opposition to buffer our walk with God. Have you ever experienced the buffering of Hasutan? I'm sure you have, because he is relentless in a lot of ways. In this passage, God wants to encourage our hearts with the truth. That's important to note. It's important to note the things that God instructs us in this passage are true. Hear me? They're not wishful thinking. They're not just positive words. They are the truth. And there is only one thing that could set the soul free, and that is the truth of God's word. Amen. Do you hear me? You know what? We have to be careful where we get our information from. Here's a news flash. The internet, bad place. Our workmates, bad place. Sometimes even our family members, bad place. There's only one place to get it from, and that is the Word of God. Because the truth can and will set us free. In fact, all who have gone on before us in the faith have learned to use these truths to live a life of victory and freedom in God. So let's read the passage again. Sing, O barren woman who has never had a child, burst into song. Shout for joy. Boy, you sound so quiet. God says, sing, barren woman who has never had a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, you who have never been in labor. For the deserted wife will have more children than the woman who is living with her husband, says Adonai. Sing. Enlarge. Not in that way. Enlarge the space for your tent. Extend the curtains of your dwelling. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. make your tent pegs firm. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will possess the nations and inhabit desolate cities. Don't be afraid. Do you hear that? Al-Tira, don't be afraid. For you won't be ashamed. Don't be discouraged. For you will not be disgraced. You will forget the shame of your youth. No longer remember the dishonor of being widowed. For your husband is your maker. Adonai Tzivaot is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He will be called the God of the whole earth. For Adonai has called you back. Like a wife abandoned and grief-stricken, a wife married in her youth cannot be rejected, says your God. Briefly, I have abandoned you, but with great compassion I am taking you back. I was angry for a moment and hid my face from you, but with everlasting grace I will have compassion on you, says Adonai, your Redeemer. For me, this is like Noah's flood. Just as I swore that no flood like Noah's would ever again cover the earth, so now I swear that never again will I be angry with you or rebuke you. Selah. Some of us, that's for someone. Some people walk around thinking God is angry with them. Never be angry with you nor rebuke you. But my grace will never leave you, and my covenant of peace will not be removed, says Adonai, who has compassion on you. 10 powerful verses. And I'm going to bring out 3 principles, maybe 5, actually, from these verses that are life-changing, atmosphere-changing. They will change the dynamic of your life, of your world, of your family, if you apply them. And the first thing is, sing. Sing. You see, this is not only an exhortation, but a powerful principle for the people of God. When practiced, it has significant impact on our lives. Do you ever wonder why so many people walk around with earbuds hanging out of their ears? It's because music and singing, even when you can't sing or hold a tune, brings comfort, joy, hope into people's lives. Now, for worldly people, it does those things in relationship to their values. What I am saying is that singing influences people, period. And that's why our world and every culture is inundated with music and singing. And God is telling us to sing. Singing, the vocal production of musical tones, is so basic to man. Its origins are lost in antiquity, says one writer. The voice is presumed to be the original musical instrument, and there is no human culture, no matter how remote or isolated, that does not sing. Not only is singing ancient and universal in primitive cultures, it is an important function associated not so much with entertainment and frivolity as with matters vital to the individual, social group, or religion. Unfortunately, singing is used for entertainment in our culture and frivolity. But do you know what? In ancient cultures and in the scripture, it is used as a spiritual tool to walk in victory. The Judaic culture has preserved some melodies that may go back to 500 BC. The Psalms of David and the Song of Shlomo were sung, and we know of an early presence of professional musicians, right? In the temple. After the destruction of the second temple in 70 AD, Jewish musicians became exclusively vocal. As the dispersed and transient Jews would learn, the human voice is a readily portable instrument. It goes with you everywhere. In the shower, in the car, at work, in the restroom. It's amazing. And communal singing, hear this, folks. Communal singing serves to bond its participants both in form and purpose. Can I tell you, from my perspective, that we have really lost communal singing in the body of Messiah? You know, many times as we're up here worshiping, I look upon the congregation and most people are just standing there. I compare that to years ago when I came to faith, when the folks up here could stop and you would hear the congregation singing as one, powerful. And do you know that those older Kiddushim were amazing? They lived in victory. Perhaps it's something that they grabbed onto that is missing. We come to observe, to almost be entertained in the modern scheme of things. But God wants us to come and participate because he knows how powerful it is. Music was made to serve a holy purpose, to lift the thoughts to that which is pure, noble, and elevating. To awaken the soul, faith, devotion, and gratitude to God. What a contrast between the ancient custom and the uses to which music is now too often devoted. Now we want music idols. Music was a tool for the soul of man. And God says, sing. Someone said this, music forms a part of God's worship in the courts above. And we should endeavor in our songs of praise to approach as nearly as possible to the harmony of the heavenly choirs. Music can be a great power for good, yet we do not make the most of this branch of worship. How many people are in the regular habit of singing? Now listen, when I say sing, I'm not talking singing secular tunes. Because all of us probably sing some secular tunes here and there because it pops up on a commercial and it gives us a throwback to when we were a kid, so on and so forth. But can I tell you and challenge you that secular tunes, okay, we know from Scripture words are powerful. And what the scripture is talking about, not secular singing, but it's talking about spiritual singing. With that said, I entitled this Singing in the Rain. And I'm not going to do my hat and soft shoe for you. Unless you really want me to. But listen, this is what we must remember from our text. The prophet tells us to sing, right? When we have absolutely nothing in the natural to sing about. Absolutely nothing. Don't wave at me because I would be inundated with waves. If you were to say to me, Rabbi Michael, there are some areas in my life that I have absolutely nothing to sing about. And to you, God says, sing. He tells us to sing while we are bereft of any of the promises of God in our life. The ones he told us we would have, we're bereft of them. Yet God says, sing, you who have nothing, you who are barren, you who are bereft of my promises, sing. He doesn't say think about singing. He doesn't say listen to someone else sing. He says sing, O barren. He says sing when we are bone dry barren. How many have ever felt bone dry barren? Of course you have. Do you know it's the enemy's plan, just like Yeshua, to get us out into the bone-dry wilderness and get us so weary and so tired and so frustrated that we don't praise God? So why sing? I'm going to give you 7 quick reasons. 1, out of obedience and by faith. God instructs us to sing, not only here in this verse, but over and over again in the scripture, and he does this for good reason. It says in Colossians 3, let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly. Say richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns. Say that. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Do not get drunk with wine. Bad thing. You know, the drunk sing. You know, people get a couple in them when they sing. But God is saying, no, don't get drunk with wine. Don't let that be the motivating factor. No. For that is debauchery. But be filled with the Ruach, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Ask my family, my kids know that I'm always singing something. Always singing something. I'll tell you why. Because singing sets you free. It always pays to just obey, even when we don't feel like it or see the value in it. Friends, could I tell you, there is many a time in my walks with God that I have walked into a worship service and have felt like not singing a lick, like not standing, like not worshiping, nothing. I didn't have it in me. I didn't want to do it. I was wrapped up in myself and my problems and my situation and my struggles and my hardship and the attacks of hell and the stresses on my life. And I would come and sit. But if I could tell you, I've learned one thing since infancy in the Lord. That as they began to sing and as I would stand up being so dry and so distraught, begin to lift my voice and in a sheer obedience begin to sing praises to God. Man, there would come, the heavens would open, and God would break the shackles of darkness, chaining me and tormenting me. It is our faith that helps us to push past our feelings and obey God in this area. As we are learning in our Wednesday night teaching, hear me this. I'm not just saying this because I'm saying this. If you're missing Wednesday night teaching, you should be here Wednesday night for the teaching. Because we're going over the book, the Celebration of Discipline. And if you're here and you're downstairs, get the book. Because it's not pablum like 90% of the stuff that's on the shelves. This is meat and potatoes, change your life material. And we're learning Wednesday night that engaging our will puts us in the position for God to help us. So ultimately, it is God working in the midst of our obedience that brings results. When we obey, we will find that singing spiritual songs reinforces our faith. It reminds us of the greatness of God, his faithfulness, and the truth of his word. Hashkiveinu Adonai Eloheinu v'shalom, v'shalom, V'hamideinu malcheinu lechayim. Ufros aleinu sukkat shlomecha. I could sing that forever. Ufros aleinu sukkat shlomecha. Amen. Being in the sukkah of his peace. C.J. Mahaney calls congregational singing, listen to this, take-home theology. Because the songs we sing together end up serving you and I as a three-minute, easy, memorizable, deeply biblical summary of important truths from the Scripture. Think about it. Just in that one song, we hear about God's presence enveloping us, dwelling in the presence of his peace. Singing builds other people up in their faith. Addressing one another. So next time you come, I'm going to address you. Hashkivenu Adonai Eloheinu. So don't be surprised if I sing to you. Leshalom, leshalom. Isn't that what we do, Jewish people? Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. We're singing blessing, the word of God, over someone else. I'll tell you what, friends, we need to pull our head. We're so entrenched in the world. We're clueless. We walk around taking the lead from the world. Why? No, God calls us to be the head and not the tail. Well, Rabbi, they don't really get it. Guess what? When you start living in victory because you live in the word of God, and yeah, you might be humming some crazy tune that they don't know in the bathroom at work, but guess what? When they see your joy and your life and your peace and your victory and your demeanor and the blessing of God in your life, they might say, hey, give me some of that. Because guess what? Shake your booty, don't get it done. And the things they listen to. Singing not only lifts our faith, but it will have the same effect on others. It's not like, unlike music in general, which has the innate ability to bring, hear this, to bring atmosphere and mood. Every single venue I have ever been has music playing, doesn't it? To set atmosphere and mood. Is that a coincidence? No, because music and singing sets the tone. Do you know when you walk in here and the music's playing, it's just, it sets the tone. When young people walk into a nightclub and it's, it sets a tone. Not a good tone. It sets a tone. It's an atmosphere setter. How's your atmosphere? Some of our homes need an atmosphere change. Hey, you have some demon problems home, and you know what I'm saying. You got some spiritual attack around your house. Why don't you try singing the songs of Zion around your house? And bring in an atmosphere change. See, singing and music can tear up or tear down, or build up or tear down. Think of those depressing country songs that leave people crying in their soup. It's really their beer, but, you know, we won't say that here. It leaves people, right, because there's something in them. They just had a breakup and they listen to that song, that achy, breaky, whatever it is. And guess what happens? Does it make them feel better? No. It makes them feel something, but not better. Music is an atmosphere setter. Singing spiritual songs is engaging in spiritual warfare. Don't believe me, right? I know, a lot of you don't. When I say that, I could feel the toes curl up. Oh, Rabbi, that ain't real. Oh, yeah? All right, let's look. 2 Chronicles 20, Tanakh. After consulting with the people, he appointed those who would sing to Adonai and praise the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army. The singers, not the cannons, not the bowmen, the singers. Thank you. So if you want to be in the worship team, that's what really that this ministry is, P.S. Ahead of the army saying, give thanks to Adonai for his grace continues forever. Then during the time when they were singing and praising, when they were singing and praising, Adonai brought a surprise attack against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come to fight Yehuda, and they were defeated. Now all the people in the front would do was singing. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High. Sing that again. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High. And then Jehoshaphat said, say it again. It is good to praise the Lord. And they were doing that, and it seems ridiculous. But God thought it was a pretty good idea. And God said, watch what I do. Because we know that God sits enthroned on the praises of his people. God said, I'm going to show up and defeat the enemy. Sing, you have a problem in your life? Maybe you need to start singing and see what God will do. Some of us would do well to replace some of the things we listen to with spiritual songs. And we will notice that God will give victories in our lives when we do. The next one, spiritual songs will strengthen you through life's most challenging trials. And you might even experience a miracle or two. So, look at this in Acts. After giving them a severe beating, anyone feel like they've gotten a severe spiritual beating? After giving them a severe beating, they threw them, Shaul and Sila, in prison. Okay, so far went from bad to worse. They got a beating, now they're in jail. You ever feel like that? There's one thing after another. It doesn't stop there. Charging the jailer to guard them securely, he threw them into the inner cell and clamped their feet securely between heavy blocks of wood like this. Not only did they get beat to a pulp, they got thrown into jail, and not only jail, the inner jail, where it's wet and damp and stanky. And now they're in stocks, and their beaten bodies are really uncomfortable. So if you think you have it bad, reconsider that. And look what it says. Around midnight, Shaul and Sila were praying and singing. They were praying and singing. They weren't listening to something. They didn't have music on in their jail cell. They were praying and singing with their own lips. Hymns to God, while the other prisoners listened attentively. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake which shook the prison to its foundations. All the doors flew open and everyone's chains were loosed. How is that for a powerful scenario? But I'll tell you what, if some of us were in that jail, we'd still be there. They'd be picking our bones. Why? Because instead of singing, we'd be kvetching. Oh, God, serving you has landed me in this deep, dark pit. God, why me? I'm cursed of all men. God, you must hate me. God, you must not be real. God, you have forsaken me. That's what some of us would do. But that's not what Shaul did. He didn't believe any of that. He knew God was with him, and he knew the reason he was there, because there is real opposition to our faith as believers. So he's going to do the only thing that he knows how to do, and that's sing unto God. And when he did, he walked out free. Maybe we should try it, don't you think? God tells us to sing, not when things are going well, but when you're locked in the cell, after you've been beaten to a pulp, with your feet and hands in stocks, and it looks like you have absolutely nothing to sing about. These men were praying and singing, and God did something amazing. Wow. Can I just say this? Strong believers worldwide share this practice of regular singing. Strong believers, and I've seen it since I'm a brand new believer, men of God, they'll be sitting there, and you'll be sitting there in the prayer meeting, and they'll bust out a tune. Because they know the power of singing. Hey, men, how about, there's nothing wrong with in your house to bust out a tune. Not put on a CD, to bust out a tune. Well, Rabbi, I can't sing. No, you could sing. Yeah, you might not be, you know, headed for, you know, the Met, but you could sing. And you sing the best you can with all your heart. Let your family hear it. Let your family join in. And you want to see victory? Victory will come. The problem is we walk around bemoaning our lives instead of singing to God in the midst of them. Singing spiritual songs will uplift your soul and bring joy. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High. To proclaim your love and faithfulness all the day and through the night. Amen. Someone wrote this: sometimes singing gives birth to joy, and sometimes joy gives birth to singing. But we can clearly see in Scripture, joy and singing are bound together. They are inseparable. So if you need some joy, start to sing. And when you're joyful, continue to sing. Because there is something about singing that God wants us to do that is freeing in our lives. And the last thing about singing is singing glorifies God. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Say all the earth.
All the earth.
Can I tell you a quick story? I was a brand new believer, just finding out about this singing and music stuff. And I remember sitting in my mother's house, tinkling on the ivories, just ding, 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 you know, trying to learn a spiritual song that I heard somewhere, ding, dong, ding, dong, and started to sing. And it was maybe a day like today, there was not a sound. I was on the bench, there's not a sound, a peep in the atmosphere. I started to play and sing, and I learned the chorus, and I started singing the chorus. Next thing you know, I'm hearing things. I'm hearing the birds going berserk, chirping. And it was like the birds were singing with me. And I said, no, that can't be. And I stopped, and they stopped. And the next day, I said, I'm going to try that again, because I'm a new believer. I'm saying, that's pretty cool, but I'm sure it's probably the pizza I ate yesterday, and this ain't real. And I sat down at the piano, and ding, 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 and start singing a song. And all of a sudden, it was like the birds. It was like Cinderella, you know? All of a sudden, the birds. And then I read the verse that all creation glorifies his name. And I was learning that God's creation, the birds, the animals, the trees of the field, that clapped their hands unto God Most High. And when we sing, as God says, we are lining up, getting in sync with the DNA of creation. And you and I are his created. It's powerful. The scripture says, let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise to the coastlands. Friends, Mr. and Mr. Sourpuss, if you're out there, I want to tell you this. Please start to sing. Start with a sourpuss. Go ahead. I dare you. Sing, okay. You know what? I have sung with clenched teeth. So mad and ticked off at my circumstance before God. All right, God, you want me to sing? I'll sing. And can I tell you, that didn't last very long. Because it is true. When you start to sing with clenched teeth, all of a sudden, the joy of God and the deliverance of heaven comes upon you. So why don't we do it? Why don't you do it? You are holy. And you know why this works, by the way? Because of Psalm 22:4. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. God, literally, he is a father. Could you imagine? I could only imagine. My daughter's 18. Love her to pieces. She's the cutest girl in the world. She's my doll. Her name is Abigail Joy the Father. And she is truly the joy of her father. 100%. Both of them, I know. And could I tell you that my heart would cavil if she was started singing to me? I would melt like a puddle. What do you want? Right? Can you imagine your son singing? Now, can you think about the heart of God hearing you sing praises unto him? Man, he cavils. He's saying, where are you? I'm coming. I want in on that. Like a dad who wants in on that relationship with the child. Boy, I spent a lot of time on that. But I got two more things. Hopefully they'll be quick, right? Shabbat, where are you going? He tells us to sing, and I hope you do it. Guys, take me up on it. Try to prove me wrong. Next thing he tells us is to enlarge. Say enlarge. Okay, enlarge is different than get large. Okay, say enlarge. Not get large. He wants you svelte. Says enlarge. Why would, and I think, I'm thinking, because I like to put questions to the Word of God. Why would the barren woman enlarge and make renovations to her dwelling? Why does she need more room while her current house is empty? Only one word comes to mind. Trust. God is instructing us to prepare for many while we don't have any. Prepare for many while we don't have any. I know what you're waiting for. Friends, we're waiting for many, and then we'll get happy. God's saying, prepare for many while you don't have any. Do it now. Prepare now. Prepare yourself. For those who are waiting to feel it before you do it, or you're waiting to see it before you believe it, you are making a very, very, very costly mistake. It will cost you years of delay. Think about Noah, who is mentioned in this passage. What if he had decided to wait until he felt the first drop of rain? It hadn't rained. What if he said, well, God said he's going to send rain, so I'll start when I see the rain. Because after all, I might look really, really stupid building a boat that big. And there's no sign that I'm going to need it. You see, he trusted God enough to obey. The truth is, Noah had nothing to go on. No evidence at all except the instructions of God. Noah decided to trust God and follow his instructions And in doing so, he saved humankind. Noah was told to build and make room, not just for his small family, but for a huge multitude of all God's creatures for the express purpose of saving the world. God said, prepare. God's calling you today to prepare. I believe that. It takes courage, fortitude, faith, and a whole lot of trust to build for 100 years with literally no evidence in the natural that what he was investing his life into was going to pay off at all. Think of that. Sometimes as believers, we doubt that God is steering us in the right direction. And often, unlike Noah, it gets us to stop the process of preparation. So we say, okay, Rabbi, you really encourage, I'm charged up after that message. And you leave this message and you start to prepare. And you diligently pursue being a Talmidim of Yeshua. But then all of a sudden, after 3 months, you say, it's not working. And the Ancient of Days is looking down at you and saying, really? 3 months? 3 months and you're done? And then you stop preparing and you lose ground. Then you get encouraged again and you start preparing again and you lose ground. Friends, God called us not to come here every week, but to be Talmidim. Talmidim are learners of Yeshua who do the things he instructs us to do. In order for us to receive God's help, he calls us to prepare before those preparations are needed. That's a no-brainer, right? But in order to be ready for the timing of God, we need to be consistent. Say consistent. Consistent in our preparations. Noah didn't start and stop building and preparing every week. When he was going good, he built. When he was going bad, he stopped. No, he built day in and day out, from sun up till sundown. Noah, one day believing and trusting God, and the next day, no, doubting, that wasn't his MO. From the time he got the order and trusted in God, he prepared according to what God had instructed. And when God decided to destroy the earth for its extreme wickedness, all of Noah's trusting and preparations paid off big time. You and I want the payoff, but we don't want to prepare. We want to cash in on God's promises, but we don't want to invest. Could I tell you? You find me a bank where you get that deal. I'm not likening God to a bank by any means. You know what I'm saying, though. Find me anything in life where it takes no investment and you get something back for that. It's not true. It doesn't happen. It's not reality. Are you trusting God, my question to you, by preparing for the promise of God in your life? Are you working with the tools that God has given you to see those promises realized in your life? Or are you sidelined based on your feelings and unbelief? Are you sidelined by your feelings and unbelief? God wants you to prepare, prepare, prepare for his blessings. So the way we prepare is by engaging in spiritual disciplines. It gets us in the position to receive God's promises, becoming a Talmid of Yeshua. Like we're talking about on Wednesday night, we're going through the celebration of discipline. I'm going to list them off to you, and I could bet you dollars to donuts. I said the word. Got to get donuts later. I'll bet you dollars to donuts that you're not doing. Some of these you don't even, what? So this is what we think the disciplines of God are. Prayer, the word, worship. That's what most people give you, the top three. Meditation. When's the last time you practiced scriptural meditation? The psalmist says, I meditate on your word day and night. Wonder why he had so many songs coming out of him. I meditate on your word day and night. Not on the news day and night. not on Donald Trump's hairdo day and night, not on Hillary Clinton's bout with the flu day and night. I meditate on your word day and night. Prayer, we know that one. Fasting. Oh, Rabbi, I do fasting on Yom Kippur. Regular fasting. Regular fasting. Oh, regular fasting. Do you know when Yeshua's time, they fasted twice a week? I know. Curl them toes up, the rabbi's coming. Study. How about simplicity? The discipline of simplicity. Americans have their lives so jam-packed with so many complicated things that we walk around like chickens with our head cut off saying, I got no time, I got no time, I got no time, I got no time. I can't, I'm stressed. We come into the house of God literally trembling from self-induced. When God wants us to walk in the discipline of simplicity. To simplify. More isn't always better. Sometimes less is more. Less is more. Solitude. The discipline of solitude. I know we're all social beings, and there's a place for socializing, but can I tell you, there's also a place for solitude. To go off by yourself and get alone between you and God. Have some of you in this room have never had a one-on-one time of solitude before God. Uninterrupted, off by yourself, you and God. Time to reflect. The discipline of submission, ouch. Service, ouch. Confession, ooh. Worship, got that one. Guidance, and celebration. You need to be preparing in place of complaining. Complaining, trust me, will not change your life. Try it. Complaining is not going to change your life. You could complain that you don't have enough money. You could complain that you don't have enough time. You could complain that your situation stinks. You could complain that your workmates are mean. You could complain until your heart's content. It's not going to change a single solitary thing. But preparing will. It'll change your life. Lastly, don't be afraid. The Hebrew phrase is al tiri, from, you know, al tirai, and it means fear not. Rabbi Carroll touched on this last week, but it's worth repeating. Hear this. Fear is so powerful in a negative sense. Fear paralyzes us. Fear operates in such a way that it controls us. When we're afraid of something, we're controlled by it. Think of the person who is afraid of heights. He's controlled. His life is, certain things are off limits to him. He can't go into that building because it's too high, and he's controlled by fear. And some of us in this context are afraid that our situation ain't ever going to change. We're afraid that God isn't going to come through. We're afraid that we're investing in the wrong thing. You see, fear looks to control us away from the principles of God and have us to shrink back from what we're called to be. Everyone experiences fear on some level. It's how we respond to that fear that will enable us to overcome and move forward in God. In this passage, God just doesn't tell us not to fear, but he gives us reasons why. Okay? So why, God? Why shouldn't I be afraid? And he says this, for you won't be ashamed. You won't be, don't be discouraged, because you're not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to let you down. For you won't be disgraced. You will forget the shame of your youth, no longer remember the dishonor of being barren. What God is saying here is that he will come through for you, and that your putting your trust in him is not in vain. It will no doubt be filled with mountains and valleys, but it's worth and worthy of our trust. Whether that be for our job situation, a family member, a relationship, or a promise that God has given to us, it is true. So don't get discouraged. I tell the enemy, can I tell you that the enemy is a master of bringing discouragement to the lives of people. I can't tell you how many people are just beaten down by discouragement. All because, I mean, folks, you're easy. You guys are so easy. The enemy has a field day with us, because all he has to do is do a little manipulation of our circumstance. Gotcha. Treated you bad at work. Gotcha, I'm discouraged. Oh, an unexpected bill came in. Gotcha. Discouraged. God says, don't be discouraged. Don't be. Trust me. Trust me. Think of Noah building a way for 50 years and no sign of rain. Was he trusting in vain at the 50-year mark? 50 years? No, it was coming. Eventually. I bet it must have felt great to have obeyed and trusted God when the deluge finally came. He must have been like, thank God I listened. Right? Thank God I obeyed him. And it's going to be the same way for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, don't fear. Or this passage says, don't fear, because Adonai has called you to himself, for himself. And he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Don't fear. Don't be discouraged. Because Adonai has called you. It says called you back, but it's the same thing. He's called you. He's recognized you. He's called you, and he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. So many people are unsure of God's plan for their life. Well, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Another reason not to fear is that God is compassionate. He says, I will have compassion on you. You know what that tells me? That he sees my struggle and understands my pain and my worries. I know we often think God is oblivious to me. We think because God, I'm in so much pain, so much discomfort in my soul. You know, you read the Psalms and over again you find David in a similar circumstance. And every time God delivers him out of it, David gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And you know what? We will gain strength as we continue to exercise our faith in God. Because God is compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love and mercy. Sometimes we fear because in our minds we think that the mistakes we make in life disqualify us from his promises. You ever think that? That the mistake I made with my kids maybe disqualifies me. Or the mistake I made at work disqualifies me from God's favor. If that were the case, no man or woman of God in the scriptures would have received the promise from God. None of them. They will all be disqualified. They were all flawed, all made mistakes, all blew it from time to time, all were unworthy. Just like you and I, this is where God's compassion comes into play. Psalm 86 says, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger." Say slow to anger. "Abounding in love and faithfulness." Abounding in love and faithfulness. The last two reasons we need not fear is God says that my grace will never leave you, and my covenant of peace will not be removed. We sang it today, right? Ufrosalenu sukach lomecha. Ufrosalenu sukach lomecha. What do we say? Amen. Grace is how we manage to go through the struggles of life. Grace is something that is always there, but it's realized as we need it. It's one of those things. It's electricity. It's there, but when you don't plug in the toaster, you don't get the benefit. When you plug it in, it works. Grace is like that. God's grace is with us. And you know what? When we go through and get through struggles in life, and you think it's you, and you think you somehow muscled through, no, no, that was the grace of God. Because I'll tell you what, the enemy's intention was to crush you. And he was trying to crush you, but God's grace just put a little sukkah around you of his presence, and you somehow squeaked through. You thought it was just by happenstance. I'm telling you, it was God's grace. You think it was you. You think it was other people. It was God. Yeah, you were hemmed in, it says, on every side, but the Lord was with me. The psalmist knew it. It wasn't me. I was in big trouble. But God was with me. I'm still here. I'm still going because God is with me. That's God's grace, friends, and it is upon you. Not only grace, but shalom, the peace of God that transcends understanding to guard our hearts and minds, will not be taken from us. And I close with this. This is why it is crucial that we put ourselves in God's care and under his tutelage. That is why we must trust him and resist the temptation to doubt him. Like the Talmudim of Yeshua, think about it, who were faced with what looked like misplaced trust. Right? I put all my eggs in this Yeshua basket and he's dead. Hung like a criminal. What have I done? They were tempted to think that their trust was misplaced. See, we too must learn to trust God even when it seems like it's over and we lost. Sing, O barren, you who have seemingly no hope, for it will be better for you than those that look like they have it all. That's the word of God from this passage. So with that said, it leaves us a lot to do, doesn't it? To walk in this reality, we sing. To walk in this reality, we prepare. To walk in this reality, we don't fear and trust God. We resist the temptation to doubt that, can I tell you, is always with us. The enemy is always getting us and trying to get us to doubt God and his promises. And we keep resisting and we keep walking forward and we keep narrowly getting through because God keeps us from getting crushed, but we move forward because of his grace. Friends, when you get to heaven one day, you're going to then, it says, now we look dimly, but then we will see clearly that all the times that you think God forsook you, God exerted the most strength to keep you going because the enemy was pouncing to put a stake right through your heart. And God intervened and you kept going. And trust me, even in the situations that you could probably think of that you don't understand, and you think, man, God really missed it in this one. We're going to get to heaven, and when we see what went on, we're going to say, how great is our God? Trust me on that. That is going to be absolutely what takes place. So here, I want us to take a second. We're already here a little while. What's one or two more minutes, right? Jim, put something on, and I want us to, in our hearts, say, God, I'm going to sing. God, I'm going to prepare. God, I'm not going to fear, but I'm going to put my trust in you. God, I'm going to walk in your grace and rest in your peace. God, that's what I'm going to do. Let's bow our hearts. You know, we could hear a message all day long, but it requires a response. Respond to God. And remember what I said. What gets us there is our will. We say, God, I will. God does the rest, really. You know, what's praying but us pouring out our heart and God answering? God does all the hard things. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. God, we, Lord, are barren. God, we're weary and worn and tired. But God, we will sing of your love and your faithfulness. God, we will put our trust in you. I will put my trust in you. Adonai Elohai, Yeshua, I will trust in you. I will put my trust in you. Adonai Elohai, Yeshua, I will trust in you. I will put my trust in you. Adonai Elohai, Yeshua, I will trust in you. I will put my trust in you. Adonai Elohai, Yeshua, I will trust in you. Yeshua, I will trust in you. Yeshua, I will trust in you. Father, I thank you for each and every person here, each life. God, you see every struggle, every hardship. You see every victory. You see every celebration. Father, you see every blessing. And God, you see every challenge. And Father, I pray, God, let these words, your words, not my words, your word, that encourage us to sing in our barrenness, that encourages us to prepare when it looks like there's nothing to prepare for, when it encourages us not to fear, but to trust in you. Father, I pray, God, that those words would be seared in the hearts of each one. And Father, that they would not be able to let these words fall by the wayside, but God, they would take root in each and every heart and each and every life. Father, that our homes would be filled with singing, and the joy of the Lord, that's our strength. Father, that our hearts would have a hymn and a song of the songs of Zion flowing from our innermost being. God, that we would take seriously the charge to become Talmudim of Yeshua. In every way, in every discipline, God, that we would meditate and put our thoughts on worthwhile thoughts, and not on the lies of hell and the discouraging things that he brings our way. The lies that he tells us that no one loves us or cares for us. God, you love us. with an everlasting love. And you've drawn us with your loving kindness. Father, we are equipped with the truth. And Lord, let the truth ring in our hearts. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let's stand up and say the Aaronic blessing. I'll bless you. Friends, God has called you to live in victory. Your family in joy. Whatever struggle you got going on, put some singing to it. Put some faith to it. And watch what God will do. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yorer Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisar Adonai panav elecha. V'yisim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and your family, and may he give you his shalom. Father, the sweet shalom of heaven, would it overtake each one? Father, that healing and health would be theirs this week. God, that victory and breakthrough and provision be over them. I plead the precious blood of the Lamb of God over every situation here, over every soul, over every body, over every mind and every spirit. And God, we thank you for victory. In Yeshua's name. Be blessed. Shabbat shalom.